Matt and Alex on Triple J.
And it's good to be back with you in a podcast this morning. And good to have Mr. Sean McAuliffe back in the stewed.
Oh, he is welcome at any time.
World class. World class. So,
would you say that he's your biggest comedy crush?
It's up there. It's pretty good. Ricky Gervais is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. You froth on Ricky, don't
you? Do love myself some Ricky.
You love
Although,
Ricky.
Although, just quietly.
Don't say it. I know what you're going to say, but you never know. Ricky might be listening to this podcast.
Look, he's got his own successful one.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he doesn't draw inspiration from others.
Well, I'm sure he'd be just as, you know, he's quite a sensible person and is able to, you know, see things what they were. And I didn't particularly enjoy the new Ricky Gervais and Eric Banner film Special Correspondence.
Ooh, you said it.
I did say it.
Oh, I tell you what, I'd be wearing butt cheek protectors if I were you, because that's going to come back and bite you on the butt.
Maybe. Maybe we should do a whole new podcast intro.
No, no, you've said it now. It's out there. It's been declared Alex Dyson thinks Ricky Gervais sucks.
Au contraire, my friend, because it is because I am aware of the heights which he can reach that it wasn't my favorite one.
Nah, fair cool.
Cop that one.
Fair cool.
I think a person who was number one in Australia on Quiz Up's The Office.
Yeah, no, you've got the proof.
Yeah,
you do have the proof to show that you are a massive fan.
Proof is in the pudding. But feel free to watch it yourself.
Morning.
It's on a streaming service.
I heard him every night at the New Zealand Comedy Festival. He'd do like a little intro to the shows.
What?
He'd say, hello, Ricky Gervais here. Oh, oi, show's about to start. While I got your attention, I got a new movie coming out.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. He recorded one specifically for the New Zealand Comedy Festival.
How about that? Hasn't been to Australia for a while, so hopefully that can change.
I saw our friend Rhys Darby at the New Zealand Comedy Festival a lot as well.
Now, he's a comedy crush as well.
Yeah.
Talk about brilliant people.
Yeah.
Nice. Coming in for interviews, knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
Rhys Darby, Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
For about 5 hours after I saw him, all I kept thinking in my head was...
His helicopter voice was...
so funny.
Can we find it?
No.
No,
look.
Can't just talk about
we
it.
Can't find it. You have to find it. Go back through all of our podcasts and listen to every single one of them until you find the Ricky Gervais one.
You mean the Rhys Darby one?
The Rhys Darby. What did I say? Rhys Gervais?
This is Rhys Darby skiing. There you go. So he's good. Anyway, thank you very much for downloading it, and we'll catch you soon.
Bye. I'm Matt. Opposite me is Alex, a.k.a. the Antiques Roadshow fan.
Don't mind myself a little bit of Antiques Roadshow.
You watched any recently?
Sort of gone off it a little bit.
Oh, no. Why?
Well, look, don't tell you this, but it can be a bit of a boring show at times. But doesn't mean that I might not get back into it, okay? I went through a phase. It's on the cool end. But why? What's going on?
Well, I mean, Antiques Roadshow, they've had a little bit of a fluffing, all right? They've got a little bit of pie on their face, and it's brand new pie, not old and antique-like. Here's what happened, all right? Someone brought in a piece of pottery, okay? A big jug with many faces on it.
Great.
All right? Ugly-ass faces as well. I mean, you wouldn't kiss any of them, right? All sort of monster-looking faces.
Blech.
Yeah, you know, all very warped features, you know, that sort of thing, right? The person, this is the US version, Alvin...
Oh, well, there's your
Alvin
problem.
Barr. It brought it in. Okay, the appraiser, Stephen L. Fletcher.
That's the American one. They don't know what they're doing.
Found
all right?
It fascinating.
You need the people over at the British one, you know, with the accents and the bow ties.
All right.
The suspenders.
Listen.
Kitty.
The American, so Stephen L. Fletcher.
Bartholomew.
He says the jug's fascinating. Okay, the bizarre looking piece of pottery claimed it dated to the late 19th century, valued it. The very unique piece with six faces all on this jug, a whopping $50,000. Old Alvin, who's brought it in, is just like, Aroga! You know, eyes are coming out like he's a cartoon character.
His face warped.
Exactly, to mimic one of the ones on the side of the jug. Anyway, it goes online. Someone sees it, goes, I've seen that before, calls up her friend, Betsy Soul, all right, and goes, Betsy, I'm pretty sure... one of your jugs is on Antiques Roadshow. Betsy looks at it, goes, yeah, that's mine. I made it in ceramics class in high school in the 70s. It is not worth, it's not from the 19th century, nothing. So now they've had to revisit the valuation. They put it at $3,000.
Not bad. A bit of a downgrade. But
oh,
$3,000.
$7,000 downgrade.
Yeah.
They muffed it. They muffed it good.
Yeah. What have you paid too much? The competition launched yesterday to remix the Play School theme song. We have the individual components or stems of There's a Bear in There, which you can find at triplejunearthed.com. You've got a couple of weeks to upload a song, your Play School remix, to potentially win a trip from wherever you are in Australia to the Triple J headquarters, which also shares the same building with the set of Play School. Get to visit them both. Get a songwriting workshop with KLP. We've had some questions as to how to get started for someone who hasn't done it. Good morning to you, Shane.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Shane. You're thinking about getting involved in the Play School remix comp?
Oh, mate, I'd love it.
Sure. And how much musical experience have you had? Have you ever played an instrument in school or anything?
Oh, you know, back when the recorder was the thing.
I tell you what, you could easily bring the recorder back for this remix, that's for sure.
I think I might have to.
But you're interested in maybe giving it a go for the first time?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. Well, what you need, Shane, you'll need what's called a DAW, which is DAW.
I've got a few of them in my house.
Well, you're going to need to close them while you're working on your remix to begin with. Digital Audio Workstation, which is it's DAW, and it's a program you can get on your computer. Now, you probably actually already have one of these at home because a lot of Macs come with GarageBand initially, right? So if you've got GarageBand on your computer, you can actually use that. If you don't have GarageBand, there's a couple of other options. If you search free DAW basically in Google, you'll get a whole list of options there. But I think personally, looking at it, you can try one called Reaper, which is 60-day. You get a free trial. You can try that. Or you can try another one called PreSonus Studio One for free. And that basically, when you get all the stems from the Play School remix, right, which are the individual tracks of audio, you throw them into this program, and because I'm assuming you don't have a keyboard or anything, you'll basically just want to just chop them up and move them all around. All the little bits that are in them, just basically fiddle with them. Put them anywhere you can, see how it sounds when it's all, you know, jungled up and put into a random pattern.
So if you get something like Jay's voice, which is in there, who actually sings the first line.
There's a bear in there. There's a bear, there's a bear, there's a bear, there's a bear in there.
That's a little live remix for you there.
So, you know, he's a professional. He's behind the decks every weekend. Shane, once you do that, it doesn't have to cost you any money. You can just give it a go and just chuck something up. It doesn't matter whether it's amazing or whether it's just, you know, your first go. It's worth getting involved, and it doesn't have to cost you anything. So give it a go, Shane. I implore you to try it.
Will do. Mate, can I have a shout out to a couple of the boys?
Sure.
I'll have a quick shout out to the Frost Boys.
All right.
On my way to work, boss just drove past a bit late, so
Shado, best of luck with it. We'll catch you later. And it's worth doing you as well. It'd be like Shane, but also people like, I was chatting to What's So Not over the weekend, who's responsible for this song. With George Maple, amongst many others. And he's saying he was an accountant, okay?
Yeah.
The guy did accounting, was an accountant, played a lot of video games as well, and then said, got very good at Diablo 2 and was killing it at Diablo 2. He was like, what could I use Diablo 2 for? Not much. Snapped his video games in half, the discs.
Really?
And said, maybe I'll give remixes
a go.
Then started doing like remixes of Major Lazer's Get Free. Have a listen to this drop, which is crazy. Check it out. Then just, you know, put the same amount of effort into playing video games he did into remixing and, you know, producing music, and he's absolutely killing it.
I guarantee you download one of these programs, which you can get free, a free DAW, Reaper, PreSonus, whichever one you want to use. Go onto YouTube, just search whatever the DAW that you've got is, beginner's tutorial. You will know how to make even the most basic remix by the end of the afternoon. I guarantee you that. So just give it a go.
And Matt and I will try and inspire you next week by having our own little remix competition, which we would like you to vote on as well, because last time there was controversy. Someone was disqualified. We won't name names as to who that
was.
It was
you. You got disqualified because you broke the rules.
Well, let's not name names. Let's welcome into the fray the person who likes that, Jed Fricker.
Hey, I'm Jed. A cinnamon swirl.
You'd be a swirl.
I'm half brown, half white.
Well, it's quite interesting you mentioned that, because you were at a family reunion over the weekend and you felt a little bit different.
Oh, man. I went to New Zealand. First time in 20 years I'd been back to Auckland, which is where a lot of my mum's family are from. Mm. They're all Māori, and I don't speak any Māori. And I was alone, and I'm very pale-skinned at the moment because of my acne medication. And I went back, and they had rented out like a netball court to do like a big kai, is what they call it, like a big meal where they cooked up some like smoked mullet and fry bread.
Was there a hungy?
No, because it's a netball court.
What's a hungy?
Hungy's where you underground kind of cooks. Well, I'll let you explain it, Jen. You probably know better.
Well, that's pretty much it. You put hot coals. You dig a hole. You put hot coals in the hole, and then you get like food, like whatever you want to cook. I don't know, lamb and kumara, mostly kumara, and you wrap it all up in like foil, and then you put it on the hot coals, and then you bury it
in the dirt.
And then you go away. And then you go away for a day, and then you dig it back up, and it's delicious.
I remember when I went and got a hungy in New Zealand when I first went there, and the guy was like, "Now, traditionally, a hungy would have been made exactly like you just described it, Jen." And and then the guy was like, "But with modern technology, we've changed things up." And then he just like basically opened an oven door that was in the ground. I was like, "What? I got an oven at home. I want hot coals and vine leaves and stuff."
Yeah. The mystical Māori way.
Exactly right. Oh, goodness. And is it good meeting relatives that you'd never even really met before?
Yeah, for the most part. Like, but it's that thing of like, because I went when I was like very small. It would have been 20 years ago. And so they all have memories of me because they were all adults, but I have no memories of them whatsoever. And then I met my Auntie Sissy, who was the one adult that I had a memory of, and then she's a bit old, so she completely forgot me. And I was like, "Yeah, I stayed at your house. I hung out with your dog Hemi," and she's like, "No, I don't think that happened."
That
I'm like,
happen.
"Yeah, in that room. I just stayed in that room there." She's like,
"It can be a little bit daunting going to do a family reunion, especially cross cultures and with people that you haven't met before." Hey, I did the same thing in Ghana a few years ago.
Dad's side of the family.
Going, there would have been about 100 people there. Big family reunion.
I'm a few chachingas on the go.
Oh, I was sitting there eating my fufu curry.
Were you kind of the reason that everyone was there? Like,
yeah.
Like,
well,
oh,
me.
We've got to
you know,
Matt.
My dad. You know, returning home after a few years, and me and my sister being there for the first time in 15 years, and I'm sitting there eating in front of everyone, and then my cousin comes over. He's like, "Just letting you know, Matt, you really shouldn't be eating your fufu with that hand." Because I was using my left hand, and that's traditionally just the, you know,
the wiping hand.
Yeah, it's not the hand that you eat with.
There's the shaken hand, the eaten hand, and then there's the wiping hand.
Yeah, and so in front of all these people, I'm eating with my poop hand. No good. That's not a good impression in front of your family that you haven't met before.
The thing is as well, like, especially with Māoris and stuff, like, I went to this thing called a marae, which is like a tribal meeting place. So they have, like, funerals there and weddings and celebrations, and they also teach, like, language classes there. And the one I went to also had, like, a doctor's clinic, but with, like, traditional healers and stuff as well. Mm. And anyway, so I was there with my auntie, and I was filling out the form, and it said, like, "Are you Māori?" And I ticked the box, yes. And then it's like, "Are you anything else?" I'm like, "Australian." And it's like, "What tribe are you from?" Or like, "Iwi" is the word for it. And I was like, "I have no idea."
Wait,
and
Mom, what's my iwi?
Yeah, yeah. And it was very embarrassing. And I felt, yeah, because everyone's so proud of where they came from there. And I was just like, oh, I'm having a lovely week. Thank you for welcoming me into your culture.
Let us know your family reunion gaffes on 0439757555. Maybe it's some people you've never met before and you stuffed it straight up.
Matt and Alex are with you, joined by Jen Fricker from Triple J Weekends. Hello again, Jen.
Hello.
I was spending last weekend on the netball court in New Zealand catching up with some relatives, many of which she'd never met before and came from a totally different culture as well, Jen.
Yeah. The other thing is all my cousins who are my age have like 3 kids.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. And so they're like, it was just weird. Like, and all the kids are like, how have you not finished school yet? I think they all thought I was like very simple.
There's a text here that said, I just turned 25 and every time I go to family reunions, all the ladies ask me when I'm getting married. They all tell me in my culture that once women hit 25, our attractiveness level deteriorates and the older we get, the less likely we'll get married. Oh, well. it's interesting just the different cultures and what it's like when you enter it and you're not that familiar with it. Hey, someone here has texted in, said, I'm half Moroccan and my younger brother is left-handed, kept getting it slapped by my deeply religious uncle as well, similar to what happened with me when I went to Ghana.
A wiping hand.
Yeah.
I got slapped for scratching my face.
What, at your family reunion?
Yeah, like...
What, slapped on the face? Because that's kind of productive.
No, slapped my hand away. But I just love that, like, no matter how long you're apart, matter, like, the hundreds of kilometres, an auntie will always slap your hand away from something.
Another person said, I, at a family reunion a few years back, my cousin suddenly went quiet when family started to arrive. Turns out he'd previously hooked up with a cousin that we hadn't met.
No.
Another person said, got wasted and made out with my mum's new boyfriend's son at a family birthday years ago. Now he's my stepbrother. So that's all happening.
Beth from Glen Waverley, what happened at your family reunion?
Well, I'd been dating my boyfriend only for about 2 weeks and then our annual family reunion came up with about 50 people from my dad's side and I dragged him along with me.
Oh,
wow, that is...
2 weeks in, meeting the whole family, not just the parents.
Yeah, all of my dad's side. There's like 21 cousins, 14 uncles and aunties.
All right. How was his hand after that, Beth? Because I've shaken a few girlfriends' dads' hands before and they are the firmest handshakes you'll ever receive with a few uncles thrown into the mix. He must have come up pretty sore.
Yeah, it was pretty bruised and battered. Quite protective uncles.
How are you guys going? Are you still together?
Yes, we are. It's almost been a year and a half now.
Oh, aww. So there you go. Welcome straight into the family.
Awesome. Do you think it was because of that?
It might be. Might have felt a bit of pressure.
For sure. All right.
He knew who would come after him.
Definitely. Thanks so much, Beth. Emily from Boronia, what about yourself?
Hey, I had a family reunion a couple of years back when I was still in high school. And we had this reunion in Tasmania, of all places, which has a bit of a reputation. Sorry, Tassie. We had a convicts and settlers themed ball. And at this point, I had no boyfriend, was just single. Everyone else had partners, so I had to dance with my cousin at this fancy ball.
A solid little, was it a waltz?
Okay. It was very fancy and romantic, and I still get made fun of by the rest of my family.
Because family are lovely, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's not the best at all there, Emily. Not doing anything for the Tassie cause either.
No.
Had you met the cousin before?
I had. Thankfully, it wasn't, a first meeting, and we knew we were cousins, so that made it all awkwardness.
I like the text.
But my brother also did end up making out with my other cousin's girlfriend, so that got awkward.
Oh, what? At the reunion?
At the reunion.
What is going on? Wait.
This is it. Hooking up is off the table at the family reunion.
Wait. Your brother just hooks up with your cousin's girlfriend?
Yep.
In front of everyone, or like, did he go out the back?
It only came out after the reunion.
Oh, my golly gosh.
All right. Well, thank you, Emily.
And Parramatta hooker Nathan Peets says he expects to be playing for the Eels on Friday night against Souths. It's understood the club is looking to offload Peets to bring the team under the salary cap, but Peets says he's spoken to several people about his future and for now he's a Parramatta player.
Thank you very much, Ruby Jones. Talking Sound Australia, not the best.
Yeah, so this Catalyst funding, it's $12 million a year over 4 years, and a list of where some of that money is going was published on a government website recently, but it sort of was lost a bit around the whole federal election announcement and all of the campaigning that's been going on. But the National Ballet was given a pretty big grant and a few other arts organisations like the National Library as well. But Sounds Australia has tweeted that they didn't get any funding whatsoever. They tweeted, "You can only imagine how disappointed we were to learn that music export has not been funded by Catalyst."
So is that, say, Australian artists and bands trying to crack it overseas, there's no money to help them?
Yeah, that's what they
get
do.
Get their music to more markets?
Yeah, they've been around since like 2009, I think, and they help Australian artists overseas sort of networking and providing all that, like lots and lots of support from them. Bands have been tweeting about that too, saying that they've benefited hugely from Sounds Australia and they're really disappointed as well.
Oh, yeah, no. Art vs. Science being one of those bands who have, been helped by that one, so a bit disappointing for the people involved in that one.
Triple J Breakfast with Matt and Alex.
I'm a bit nervous because my key isn't turning very easily in the lock at home, right?
Right.
And I want to get it fixed, but I feel like I could maybe try and do it myself, but I don't know whether I should, because the time I tried to fix the leaking tap, all right, it took three goes. Yep. I stuffed it big time.
Matt O'Kine doing DIY, if you're not aware, is a recipe for disaster.
Well, I just dropped, my car, the headlining in my car, finally, I had to get it fixed because it was getting really low. It was like drooping over my head, like a terrible hat.
The carpet or the roof of your car. Yeah,
and I dropped it in. Everywhere I called up, they're like $260, $300, right? And I'm like, no, I'm sure I can do this.
Staple gun. $29.95.
Well, that's it, right? And so I'm looking at this article that's come out that's a set of figures put on by a website, serviceseeking.com.au, right? And it's talking about various trades and how much cash monies these guys are making. Men and women around Australia, plumbers, average plumber, charging $78 an hour, right?
Oh.
Compared to a lawyer, all right, on average, $37 an hour. Right, when I was at school, everyone wanted to be lawyers and accountants. No, plumbers, electricians. I want to, like, is this for real?
The best thing about that is you get texts when we're on radio around about 3 p.m. is when, it's time to pack her up, boys.
Yeah.
You could yell at that around
right?
the site.
I was just blown away, right? I'm looking at all the averages here. Carpentry, $58 an hour. Plumbing, $78 an hour. Plastering, $48 an hour. Landscaping, $67 an hour. Rich tradies.
We're looking at house prices recently, is it young people getting into the market? Joe Hockey, former treasurer, said, look, if you want to get a house, get a good job.
Mm.
Step number one.
Just get paid more.
And a few articles coming out that potentially trades are good for that. Men and women of trades getting a few an hour. Matt, you read a few figures earlier
look, this
on.
This is just from news.com.au suggesting that the average plumber charges $78 an hour as compared to a lawyer who earns $37 an hour. Right. $78 an hour compared to $37 an hour. Now, interesting wording used here. Okay, because it says the average plumber charges $78 an hour. Then it says the average lawyer earns $37 an hour. Charging something and earning something, very different indeed. Scott from West End in Queensland, you're a carpenter. What do you say about these figures?
That's very good. You've picked up on the wording. So it's very well done. Because you're looking at insurances plus association membership plus tax plus super plus holiday pay. You've got to take all that out. If you're a tradesman, you've got to actually deduct all that from your, what you're actually charging. So, whereas the lawyer, if they're employed and getting paid that, they have to be employed getting paid that because they're definitely not one of the directors.
They're definitely not. Yeah, you sometimes think lawyers are charged $400 an hour, right? It's crazy.
Yeah, and more. I've seen it charged $600 an hour. So you're looking at it. You watch every 6 minutes.
They take a sip of their tea and you're like, no, back to work, please.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, so it says here that a carpenter, the average is $58.55 an hour. Once you deduct all of those things, what is the more realistic figure that you would take home?
Well, if you're working for, most of us are looking around 33, you're taking home 33.
Mm. Okay, people driving to school, young kids thinking about doing a trade, would you recommend it?
If I was going to do a trade again, I would choose plumbing or an electrician because the setup costs are much smaller. You know, you got your van and it's also a licensed trade and, you can't do the work without, a license to be a plumber or an electrician, so you have to get them in. And, whereas a carpenter, anybody can go and throw their framing together, even though it's not legal, but they can go and do it.
All right.
Goodness me. All right. Well, thank you very much for that one, Scott. Appreciate it. And it's just a lesson. Be aware of the wording on internet news sites, for example, you know, the interesting charged and earned there. And, you know, the other one is, you won't believe the way this person got to this island. They swam. Oh, right, okay. The way that most people get through water if they do that. I can believe it. So just be wary.
I hope you are well. It is a Wednesday. We're looking at the figures here.
Yeah, it's election campaign time. And as always, politicians have learned that elections won and lost on the economy.
Oh, okay? They're talking about, they're flogging
you can
that horse.
Have your little climate change policies, you know, future of the world stuff, fine. Yeah. Doesn't win you an election, though.
No.
All right? Because
money.
If people want money in their pocket, that's going to happen. We're talking about tradies at the recently. Article coming out, they make a lot of money. They rightfully pointing out that that's before expenses are paid, such as insurance and whatnot. But lawyers were also mentioned, Matt O'Kine, as someone who potentially, yeah, getting a good job to buy a good first home.
Trying to claim that tradies are doing it far better than the average lawyer, apparently earning $37 an hour as compared to a tradie who can charge up to, you know, $80 an hour. Of course, it is all in the wording. It's what these stories like to do. And Catherine, the lawyer from Tasmania, has hit back. You are a lawyer. How much does it cost for your services, Catherine?
About $300 an hour.
Whoa!
That's a spicy meatball. but do you get a whole piece of that meatball, Catherine?
No. I mean, what I earn's got to go towards, we have accounting people that we have to hire. We have overheads. We have, I have an assistant that I share with someone else, and I also have someone who helps with my conveyancing side of practice, so.
And you've also got a nice shiny building, Catherine. I mean, I've seen many a nice shiny lawyer's buildings before. Big, full roof to floor windows looking out over the river.
So you get the lawyer for an hour, but you're basically also paying for the work behind the scenes to be done as well.
Yeah, and I mean, there's insurance as well. It's, premiums are pretty high for a lawyer.
How much are you paying out of, you know, what would go to insurance in a $300 charge?
I don't know, to be honest. That's
but it's a lot. Upline.
It's a chunk. Yeah. So what would an average lawyer like yourself be getting from that particular one?
Probably about
$35. $35 down to $35.
So 90% of it almost goes to just all the stuff.
Yeah.
Goodness
all the
me.
All the overheads, really.
You got any sweet abstract art in your foyer as well, Catherine, which costs the company a bundle?
No, we actually have photos taken by a charity. So,
well, there you go.
There you go.
That we sponsor.
And are you working for a big firm or is it just a little one?
Middle size.
Yeah, very
interesting.
Nice. Well, good on you, Catherine.
Do you love doing it, by the way? If there are a kids, you know, at school right now thinking, what am I going to do, you know, for the rest of my life, would you recommend it?
I'd recommend they work out what they're actually getting into, but yeah, I'd recommend it most days.
Sensational. All right, awesome. Like every job. Most days it's great. Thank you very much,
Catherine. Thanks, Catherine.
No problem.
Hope you're well. Matt and Alex with you, joined by a good friend.
Oh, I tell you what, he is on top of the world right now after winning a Logie on Sunday night amidst one of the most well-received awards ceremonies in Australian television history. Sean McAuliffe, good morning to you.
Dudes, hey, I like KDB. I was fumbling to send you a text to say how much I enjoyed it. I thought, well, I'm here anyway, so I might as well just tell you in person.
Oh,
hey, I've got a new segment for you.
All right.
It'll be great, and people can ring in. I don't know if you do that anymore, but people ring in and talk to you.
What, okay? on like a landline or something?
Yeah, on a phone.
Can we do this like now?
Yeah, sure. I got it all ready. It's called What Fruit Is Sean Eating? All right, you ready? Listen very carefully.
I'll take your microphone up.
Is it popping candy?
No, you got to let people ring in.
Well, 300-555-536.
That's not a fruit.
If you know what fruit that was. That sound again, Sean.
Here it goes.
Oh,
all right, there we go. Text in.
Good to hear that Sean is eating fruit as well. It's, you know, natural, organic, good for you, good for the body.
You can live off these. You have to. Now, I hope you've recorded it because you have to play it because I've almost finished it.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, I think this comes a segment we played a while ago, Sean, when you joined us, which is what's the secret sound? And you threw a chair across the room into the glass window, which
that was Louis McCurdy.
Yeah, Louis McCurdy was on. I did enjoy listening to that. Hey, congratulations on winning a Logie, Sean.
Best comedy. How many Logies is that for you now, Sean?
Well, let's see now. In many years ago, when you guys were very young, you probably would have been in single digits. I did a show called the McAuliffe Program,
one of my favourites,
and that won two Logies.
Ooh.
In the same category that was won on Sunday. So
got
that
you the
was
gig
nice.
Of hosting the Logies as well.
It did. I did. I got to do that in 2001 when many of your listeners weren't even born, and I got away with it. And I've never done it since. In fact, that's not true because they asked me to do it the second year. They asked me to do it the year after in 2002. And then I got a call like a week after they asked me and said, oh, no, it's okay. We're good. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And then, and then someone else hosted it, much to my disappointment.
Where do you keep your Logies?
I give them away, in all honesty. I don't keep them. My mother has one.
Yeah.
Which he's very proud of. And then my fellow I've been riding with for years, he's got one. And I've got one from Talking About Your Generation, the popular one. But I figured that's the only – the outstanding ones, they don't really count. It's the ones that the people actually vote for.
And you, after getting on stage, delivered an incredible speech that I've watched many times on the internet. If you haven't seen it, please do. But then you whisked off to the media room. The cameras are flashing. Sean, tell us what happens as soon as you leave the stage after winning a Logie.
Well, this is sort of behind-the-scenes stuff that the cats dig, and I'm happy to tell you about what happens. You know, it looks all glamorous, but it's a working night for me. So you leave the stage and you're ushered with an entourage of people with microphones and folders and things, and they take you through the labyrinthine corridors of the Crown Casino to another room called the TV Week Room, where you sit you're asked to take some pictures and you sit on a couch, and then you do a group shot, and on this occasion, they say, well, it's a comedy show. Will you use these hula hoops?
Oh, no.
Now, these were lovely hula hoops. I want to say the hula hoops weren't quality gear, but I'm almost 90 years old now. So when they said,
and so instead of putting it around your waist, you got a stick and started hitting it along the ground and running next to it, sure.
Yeah, but they wanted you to actually like hula with them.
Yeah, they want to hula. And the thing was, there's still photographs. I mean, I wasn't sure just quite what effect they were trying to capture there. So I said no. Yep. I said we won't be doing that at all. I said on behalf of everybody in our team. And there was this sort of pause. And she said, would you at least hold it? I said, all right, well, I will hold it. And then I didn't really hold it. I just stuck it on the ground with my foot on it. So I'm not sure. I haven't got a copy of TV Week for this week, but I'm reasonably sure that that picture does not appear.
No, there's not any. I'm Googling them now and none are coming out.
Were there any sitting around?
No, there was the only other thing that I was offered was a sign with the word help on it, which I think was offered to me ironically. And even then I said, no. No, I won't do that, no. I mean, there's very little reason. I'm not going to say, if they put me on the cover, I'm not going to sell a TV Week, am I? So, Matt, you look to your heart's content, but I suspect you will not find a picture of
there's
me
not
in
a single
TV
one
week.
Of you in a hula hoop.
10 to 9, that was Tiny Little Houses with Marlton. See, no one remember that. That's a very old character.
No, I remember it.
Back on Fast Frontal.
Someone on the text line has said, 90 years old. Jesus, your voice sounds so young. Yeah. I don't think they picked up that you were, in fact, joking.
Yes. No, I am. I'm not quite 90. You guess my age, Matt. How old do you think I am? How old do I look?
Sean McAuliffe, you're the quiz master this morning, guessing what fruit you're eating, guessing your age.
I'll give you one more hint here. I've got the last bit is here. Here we go. What fruit am I eating?
Katrina from Thornbury, what do you reckon?
I think it's a very ripe banana.
I feel like it sounded a bit too not mushy enough for a ripe banana.
Too noisy.
What made you think that it was a bit too ripe?
Well, because it's mushy, so and you're like kind of making a mess of it.
What do you mean, the banana or the show, Katrina?
Just like the eating of the banana is a bit messy. Doing a great job with the show, though.
Thank you, Katrina. Thanks very
much.
Is it
a banana?
Is this the end of the competition?
No, we got more guesses. We just need to know if that's yes or no.
Well, if I say yes, which is true, that rather ends the game, doesn't it? Well, hang on. We could go a little step further. Was it an organic banana or was it not an organic banana?
That's or genetically modified there.
Well,
Katrina.
Someone's asked whether it was dried banana chips.
No.
Does it have the little red wax on the bottom?
Hang on, I'll just have a look.
What type of banana? Is it a ladyfinger?
Yep.
No, I don't. Oh, God, no. I would never eat a ladyfinger banana. Katrina, you're with me there. They're awful. Yeah. Why would anyone eat those?
No, that's way too hard.
Congratulations, Katrina. You have won the competition on the first guest, bringing it to a close for better or worse.
What does Katrina win? What does she get a prize?
The peel. Send her the peel.
All right, send the mail.
you're getting the peel from which the banana was eaten, Katrina. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's great.
Hold on the line. We'll get you details. Now, Sean.
Yes.
Mad as Hell, the show for which you won a Logie last Sunday, is back. You've got it going. How are you looking? Because it's ripe for you election year. I mean, last time Mad as Hell was on, we had a different prime minister, so you're going to have to rewrite again.
I know, we've had to do search and replace and a lot of the scripts that we'd already written. And we are fortunate that it's an election because we've not ever had this before. And this is a pure accident. If it wasn't for the fact that I was doing a documentary in January, we would have already been finished. We would have been in the weekly's slot.
Yep.
And Charlie Pickering, who is, a young Turk, a man who I created his television career, he would have had this opportunity and not me. So Dame Fortune smiles and grins broadly on my career at the moment, I can tell you.
Sensational. And yes. So how do you see the contest? I mean, overnight the big thing, talking point, was non-allies, both Labor and Liberal, saying the Greens, we will not be forming government with them. Thank you very much, sir.
Hang on, Alex, I'm writing this down because I have no idea that this happened.
All right. Is there anyone you formed an alliance with TV Week on Sunday night, which is going to be formed for a while. Is there anyone you wouldn't form one with, though?
To TV Week, I'm more than happy. I've often volunteered to do the cover with somebody, on TV Week. I think that'd be a fun thing to do. But
get back in the Milo Kerrigan costume and get on the front of TV Week.
Well, actually, Matt, if you've got your Google machine there, I'm pretty sure Milo might have appeared many years ago in TV Week, but like on page 20 or something like that.
No, really there's no evidence of it coming up here.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry.
Oh, well. All right. Well, we're looking forward to some other good things on Mad as Hell this week. Short, we'll catch you soon. Are you going to come back? Are you going to come back and join us?
People also telling us, saying, by the way, that the banana is a herb, not a fruit.
Oh, really?
No. So you've actually, you stuffed it, mate.
What a waste of time. I'm so sorry.
Is this going to be a regular thing, Sean, you joining us?
I'm going to do the competition, but I understand from your producer you won't be broadcasting it.
Okay. All right. Well, you're going to have to jump on Sean McAuliffe's LinkedIn if you're looking to keep playing the competition.
I'll contact you. Don't you worry. Every morning.
Breakfast with Matt and Alex on Triple J.